Space shapes behaviors. Behaviors create culture. And culture drives results. This is the More Than a Chair podcast by Business Furniture and Corio, where we're creating space for innovation, for dreamers, and for the next big idea. Social distancing, 6 feet apart, screens, masks, the world can feel very cold, sterile, and separate right now as we navigate our workspaces post-pandemic. How can we give the safety of space and personal boundaries without compromising design? I'm your host, Amanda Clark, and today on the More Than a Chair podcast, we have with us expert guest Gail Moutrie, Vice President of Communications for Steelcase, the global leader in the office furniture industry, and our own Mary Beth Oakes, CEO and owner of Business Furniture and Corio. Hello, ladies. I'm so excited to have you here to talk about this topic.
Thanks, Amanda. Hello.
Yeah, thank you.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's talk about this personal boundaries. Gail, what are the conversations happening right now? Can boundaries exist without compromising on design?
Yeah, that is such a good question right now. And, you know, I think 12 weeks ago, some of us might have had a different answer than the one I'm going to give you right now. So I think before we got forced into this situation, we would have said, no, it's not possible that you can't do both. We can't have some kind of boundary, good design, and feel great about it all. But I think what this has taught us is just how much we actually crave being together. And how much, you know, we really do want to be back with other people and not sitting in, you know, isolated rooms, whether we're doing our work or connecting with family members. So we think that even if we have to remain 6 feet apart and we do have to have our bubble around us, that still seems to feel a lot better than when we are isolated. And, you know, I'm sitting right now looking outside my window of my little office into the park, and I'm looking at people who are out there, and they're all 6 feet apart, but they're still enjoying being together. So I think, you know, that is what will probably help us get over a little bit of the weirdness about having to, at least in the near term, be in a workplace where we're still 6 feet apart. Now, in terms of the design part, I think that's, you know, it's another part of the equation here where we will have to be thoughtful about how do we design the spaces so that they feel as good as they possibly can when we are, you know, 6 feet apart from each other.
Yeah, it's so challenging. Mary Beth, what do you think about this space and this need for boundaries right now? But it just feels so sterile to me. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it.
Well, yesterday was really an interesting day. So we hosted a client in our space and we did a design charrette. And very interesting because this is the first time we've actually hosted somebody in our space since we reopened. And, you know, I was wondering how masks would come into play. And, you know, initially all of us had our masks on and we were maintaining our 6 feet social distancing, which was fine. But then as we got into the actual design charrette and we were having a conversation, we were still 6 feet apart, but everyone started taking their masks off because they found that it was easier to communicate without those masks. And I think they felt safe as long as they were 6 feet away from each other. But I think to Gail's point, I think all of those people that visited us, you know, in our space yesterday, they really were enjoying being together as a group. And it was funny because our session actually went 45 minutes over. And when we were asking them if they were willing to stay that extra 45 minutes, they were all excited to stay because they all made the comment. It had been such a long time that since they'd really been out of their house for a meeting like this, where they got to connect with other people and they were really engaged and they were really enjoying it. And so it really gave me hope. I mean, I do think to Gail's point, I think you're so right, Gail. I think people are missing that and they really enjoyed it. Even if they meant, you know, adding on 45 minutes to a meeting at the end of the day, I might add, right? So this took us to almost 6 p.m., but they were still willing to be there because they were enjoying, you know, just the camaraderie and the discussion and the engagement and human connection. They were enjoying that.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on what Mary Beth was saying about guests that enjoyed being, you know, with you longer than, you know, even at the end of the day. And I think that's because you did something that's so important right now is you made them feel safe. And, you know, feeling safe is probably one of the most important things that we need to do right now when somebody, certainly when people are returning to work or they're in an environment with other people. And that's where I think the strength of great design is going to come in, because we are going to think about, you know, how the spaces look, but just as much we have to think about how the spaces make everybody feel. So, you know, in addition to knowing that we're doing the things to be safe, how you make people feel safe is so key. And restoring, you know, or at least helping people feel confident that wherever they go, that everything has been done to make them or help them be as safe as possible. That's a really key element right now.
Well, mm-hmm. It's interesting you say that, Gail, because I know yesterday when we had that design charrette, you know, it was great because I do think, you know, people did feel safe, and, you know, that conversation about their space was also interesting because, you know, they're not moving into their new space until February, right? So I think, mm-hmm. you know, obviously some time is going to pass before they move in. But the great thing to me was they still were talking about individual spaces, but they did not quit talking about collaboration and how do you effectively bring people together. And, you know, we had some conversation about boundaries in those collaborative spaces, but really the conversation was less about the boundary and more about the need for people to be able to come together easily and effectively. And so that to me was very encouraging too, that they weren't necessarily just thinking about the boundary, but they were also thinking about how do we bring people together effectively. That was still a huge part of the conversation that we had during that design charrette.
Yeah, and I think that's about getting beyond the boundary, right? Or understanding what it is you need enough that you're willing to put up with some of those boundaries, which you said the word, it's the that collaboration, you know, together. And I know certainly the research that we've been doing and a lot of the research studies that we've been following, that is perhaps, you know, number one thing that people are missing, you know, apart from missing the camaraderie or the community that they have at work. They're missing the ability to collaborate really effectively.
Yeah, which is all of our favorite part about being in the office. Gail, you started to talk a little bit about research. What research, what data is Steelcase using right now to determine what makes sense when it comes to social distancing? And kind of, it's constantly changing. I feel like as we're gaining more knowledge about this virus and about how things are spread, how are you kind of adapting to some of that and helping that make sense?
Yeah, you know, that was something that, you know, at the beginning when we started to talk about what will this mean when we all start to return to work, we wanted to take a very responsible position in terms of how we offer any kind of considerations or thoughts or guidance upon returning to the workplace, because it was really early into this that we had a lot of our customers and a lot of our design friends that we work with reach out to us and say, what should we be doing? And we wanted to be responsible in the sense that we understand a lot about human needs and worker in the workplace, but we are not scientists. We are not epidemiologists. And mm-hmm. so we didn't ever want to offer speculative things on that. So in the beginning, we said, you know what, let's develop a time frame through which hopefully it gives our customers just a sense of how to view what's going on. But it's also allowing us to think about the things that we need to be doing in this time frame of now, meeting, you know, the immediate, what this may mean for all of us in the near future. Okay. So very early into this crisis, you know, we had a lot of our customers and the designers and architects that we work with reaching out to us and saying, what should we do? And, you know, what are the recommendations or guidance you can give us? And, you know, at the beginning, we said, we want to take a very responsible approach to that. And we didn't want to offer any recommendations or guidance that are not based on the things that we know to be true. We saw a lot of speculative things going on, and we thought, okay, that doesn't feel like the right thing to do. So we established a time frame and, you know, a time horizon, and we said, let's think about the things that we could talk about now in the immediate future. Let's think about mm-hmm. the things that may be in the near, and then at the same time, let's also be thinking about things that may be, you know, future oriented. So certainly for the now, you know, as some organizations in some parts of the world go back and go back in waves, we have been advising that, you know, we can only suggest as much as we all know right now on the basis of either things that, you know, organizations like the World Health Organization are telling us or any local governance that may be provided. So that's where a lot of the ideas about social or physical distancing come from, as well as understanding density and the potential need to have barriers in some places. Now, as we move a little further out, one of the things that we believe is that science is going to teach us much more. And in fact, we are taking a pretty aggressive position in that, in the sense that we're going to be working with a world-renowned lab who understands fluid dynamics and will be able to work with us to offer thoughts and suggestions relative to not only materiality, but also to how we actually should potentially be configuring a work environment, so that while it won't stop some of these things, we could certainly bring some science into how we actually design the space to help us suppress some of the pathogens that that may exist, whether it's COVID or post-COVID or whatever the next one may be. So, you know, our belief is that as we go forward, we'll be able to bring more of the science-based and data-based knowledge into not only, you know, considerations and ideas we have, but certainly into some of our thoughts around what the future workplace should look like.
Yeah, and it is such this now, near, and far timeline that we're all working on. Mary Beth, talk about the now. How are you balancing running a showroom that's, you know, for clients in this welcoming open space, but also the personal boundaries that employees need, or creating a workplace that does feel safe for all parties? How are you kind of balancing all of that right now?
Well, I would say, like, for the now and the near, you know, it's definitely all about meeting people where they are. And I think it goes back to that feeling of safety and security. And I've always been a big fan of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we know that before employees can start to think about belonging and connection and how they work together as a group and as a team, they have to feel safe and secure, right? That's, you know, not their most basic need, but it's the second most basic need, right? So we have to help them to feel safe and secure. So, you know, what we've really done in our own organization with Business Furniture and Corio, you know, we really had a very careful and safe approach about how we would bring people back. And even when you walk into our space now, you see cleaning supplies everywhere. You see that there are, for example, fewer seats available in our social hub because we're trying to have fewer people. We're trying to reduce the density of people working in that space. You know, we have all kinds of protocols that we have implemented, right, to help people to feel safe and secure. And, you know, like Gail was saying, you know, we're trying to think about the World Health Organization and the CDC and other local guidelines that, you know, from local government about, you know, how we should be returning to work. So I would say for the now and the near, you know, we're trying to meet people where they are. And in some cases, when employees aren't comfortable in coming back to our space, you know, we certainly want to give them the option of continuing to work remotely. And, you know, that I'm sure at some point, you know, that's going to all evolve and shift as people feel more comfortable and secure. I do think that there are some things that employees like about working from home. I've heard employees say it's kind of nice to be able sometimes to work in your pajamas or sometimes to take a walk at lunch that you normally would not have taken. But I do think fundamentally there are definitely things they're missing. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens in that far perspective. And to Gail's point, how can science and data help us to make people feel even safer and more secure? Because we know that that's a basic need, right? So, but
yeah, I love when Gail.
Go ahead, please.
Go ahead. I loved when Gail said, you know, in the beginning, the conversations were like work from home forever. And then, well, what does that mean? And now people are going, okay, but wait a minute. How can we kind of take what we're learning from working from home right now and make our workplaces better? I like that that conversation's starting to happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really interesting to think about all of that with the future workplace, because we do believe that this, you know, forced experiment that we all get into may have shown a lot of organizations that it is possible to work from home. You know, certainly the business continuity element is there. But the further that we get into this, we think the shift may be, you know, in the longer term, is that more employees will just assume that they have the opportunity to work from home when they want to, but then equally, they have the ability to go into the office when they both want to and perhaps need to. So, you know, for years we've talked about there being an ecosystem of spaces, in a really well-designed workplace that, you know, would give people some choice and control over or where and how they work. So we think what we will see in the future is that ecosystem of space is just expanded, and that probably now home may be one more typology. And so there may be times where you choose to do that. But the more, I think probably more interesting part is all of those people, as you were just saying, Amanda, who may have speculated that we will work from home forever because this is fabulous. You know, after about 3 weeks, it seemed to be that 3 or 4 week mark in someone's time at home, when their thoughts about how it actually works is shifts. And the, you know, the research that we've been doing and the research that we've seen from others, a lot of people are saying, you know, please, I need to go back to work. So, you know, the future will be about having the choice to sometimes work from home. But then the thing that people miss the most, which is really the kind of collaboration where, you know, it's generative collaboration. In other words, we're brainstorming together. We're in real time. We're coming up with ideas and modifying those ideas or bringing other people into that. That is really tough to do when you are sitting at home and, you know, you're doing it through a piece of technology, which thank goodness for our technologies, or we could not have continued the business the way we did. But it still isn't quite the same for all of those tasks. It's still, you know, what we hear from a lot of people is the more two-dimensional nature of the technology just makes some of the human experiences that we have together, you know, more three-dimensional experiences. We miss that. And, you know, we believe that that will be a primary driver for why people want to get up out of their, or get out of their jammies and, you know, go potentially take public transit and wait in the line to go up an elevator to get into their office. But they will do that because of the need to be with people when they are doing that type of work.
Yeah. Do you think that this, that COVID is, will forever change the way we work? And even like in our industry, a question for both, you know, Gail and Mary Beth, do you think that it'll change the way we design and plan out workspaces? Is this just a really a pivotal moment that we'll always remember?
Yeah. You know, we believe it is. And, you know, certainly a lot of the conversation right now is around post-vaccine, because I think there's obviously a great hope that a vaccine happens soon. And then, you know, there's speculation, well, will that, you know, as soon as that happens, will we just go back to the way things were before? And while that certainly may be the case for some people, we actually think the scarring or the imprint this has on our collective psyche, this will stay with all of us for a long time. And so it may not be COVID that we are worried about, but we have all learned enough about this to be afraid of the next one, because, you know, there will be a next one. We don't know how quickly, but there will be. So how that may change the way we view our workplace is, could we react faster the next time? And is there, you know, should we be thinking about some planning paradigms that maybe need to shift? So one is, you know, the idea of how can we get as many people into a space as possible because it has effective, you know, reduction of real estate costs. That may have to shift. And we may have to think more about the ability of people to be in a work environment where they're really enjoying what they're doing. They have all of the tools that they need, but they feel safe also in the sense that if, you know, or when another one comes along, we could immediately start distancing ourselves much more effectively than we have been able to this time around. And so, you know, we know that right now, most of the spaces we work in are very on a continuum of fixed to flexible to fluid. They're much more fixed with a degree of flexibility and far less truly fluid spaces. We think that may be one that we all have to think about turning that on its head, essentially, and designing more fluid spaces and flexible spaces, and perhaps having fewer fixed elements, so that again, you know, our reaction time could be much faster the next time.
Well, I was thinking about yesterday with the group once again, where we were doing our design charrette, and, you know, we talked a lot about resiliency planning, flexible planning, and, you know, we talked about in their future space, let's make sure that we're thinking about that space. So to your point, Gail, if this happens again, if there's another virus or another type of situation that arises that causes us to have to flex and change quickly, let's make sure that that space can do that. Because I think that's one of the things that many organizations have learned, right? That their space really was not ready to be that adaptable. And so that is one thing I know that they were putting in their minds, they were thinking about as they plan for this space that will be opening in February. They want to think about how to make that more flexible. And, you know, even in our situation, you know, we have this very large room that we lovingly refer to as our think tank. And I would say pre-COVID, had we have been hosting the Design Charrette, we would have probably been using only half of that room, right? And we would have all been gathered in much closer proximity to one another. Yesterday, because of COVID, you know, we were using the whole room and we were very spread out in that room. We were still able to talk and to collaborate, but we were just trying to be mindful of each other and trying to maintain that 6-foot distance, right? So I think it made me really happy that we were able in our space to be able to be flexible, at least in that space, right? We were able to be resilient and still use that space and so still be very functional. And I think that's something that organizations are really going to have to key in on how do you do that, right? How do you make a space that's much more flexible and fluid that can be switched up, you know, to dial it in or to expand it out based on what you need to do, right, in any situation?
Yeah, you know, there's a connected question there that we've been asking ourselves too. And again, you know, it's a question at the moment, but could it be that the way we've thought about meeting spaces, which is what you're describing, Mary Beth, actually needs to change? And could it be, you know, that those small meeting rooms that we once would have sought to have a meeting, do they need to change? And will we actually feel more comfortable having more of our meetings in more open spaces or spaces that are that are out in the open? And, you know, I began to think about that speaking with some of our customers who said that in the short term, they've actually just locked their small meeting room doors. And even rooms, meeting rooms that might have been for 12 people, certainly now while you try to apply social distancing, it's not even, you know, the math isn't even as simple as saying take out half the number of chairs, because you also have to think about the circulation space within that room and the points of, you know, entry or egress. And so how we, you know, how we design meeting spaces in the future may need to be rethought.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the need to be fluid and some of those opportunities. What do you think about boundaries and that feeling of warmth and inviting when you come into a workspace? I feel like that's something Steelcase and Business Furniture, you know, we're constantly talking about. Do you think it's still possible, Gail, to feel warm and inviting while having those obvious boundaries?
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, there's the ultimate testament to great design is when we can exercise or have some of those boundaries there, but at the same time, make a space feel really good. So, you know, that's where I think that's a case of looking at the application of the pieces used, but also the nature of the pieces themselves. And, you know, we just finished writing an article that we will publish very, very soon around the use of, you know, informal spaces or, you know, spaces where we would say more of the ancillary products are brought in. And, you know, we feel pretty good about the kinds of application ideas that you can have using pieces that are beautiful pieces, but arrayed in a way that it's helping us achieve that distancing, you know, the physical distancing. And one of the things that we thought about as well with those is how do you bring in some of the other tools? So now you have a space that is doing several things. It looks and feels great. It does allow us to adhere to some of the physical distancing rules, but at the same time, it lets us have the kind of tools that we need to have really, really good collaborative sessions. So we think it definitely is possible. It just, it requires thoughtful, you know, considerations, and it requires a little more space. You know, you just have to have enough room to be able to design that space that, you know, offers you the boundary, but at the same time, is just a great space to be in.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mary Beth? Do you think we can do it? I mean, yesterday when you were in masks and far apart, did you feel like there was an element to still create that inviting experience?
I think so. I mean, like, I think some of our employees and some of the some of the clients that we've worked with, it's interesting, like even when they're wearing their masks, I think now they've gone to kind of some of their own personalized masks. There was a gentleman yesterday that had a Cubs mask on. And so we were having that conversation about his Cubs mask, right? It was a conversation starter. And he was talking about that was his favorite team, his son's favorite team, his grandson's favorite team. So it really got us into a conversation that became a warm conversation. And even the guests yesterday were commenting about the colors in our space. And, you know, our space is really just a brand new warehouse that we converted into office space and warehouse space. But, you know, they even remarked on the finishes that we had used to make that a warmer space. And they were expecting it to be kind of a cold feeling warehouse. And in reality, it has a lot of warmth to it. So I think to Gail's point, I think it's not only how you apply the product, but it's finishes and it's fabrics and it's the whole materiality piece that I think, you know, really will make a big difference. And I also think what's going to make a difference, I do think in these situations, like where we were wearing masks, we were really trying to be extra mindful about how to really extend ourselves and to make people feel welcome. So I think there's going to be even a bigger awareness, short term, long term, I'm not sure, but a bigger awareness about that, which I think, you know, really helps to break down some of those boundaries that we have to put in place. I think it helps a little bit, right, by being very intentional. And, you know, I was thinking too about the future, about, you know, really how some of this is going to change us, probably in a good way, right? I think there's going to be so much more mindfulness just about washing your hands and just really about staying home when you're sick. And I think before, there were many organizations where it was almost seen as a bad thing if you stayed home when you were sick, because you should still come to work, you should still keep working. And I think, you know, just focusing on those two things alone probably could make a big difference by, you know, really, you know, washing your hands and wiping down spaces where you work just to be considerate of the next person, but then also staying home when you're sick or when you have a loved one that's sick, you know. So, you know, we talked about that yesterday too. And I think that particular client thinks that's also going to be something that is really going to help them to promote that feeling of safety and having to have fewer boundaries because people are respectful.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that, Mary Beth. And that's maybe one of the positive things that comes out of everything that we've been through. You know, there's an interesting debate that's going on right now, too, in terms of could this actually be the impetus for the workplace being better in many ways? So, you know, one is, are we going to have protocols and behaviors that are better, which is what you were just talking about. But I've also had a number of people say, could this be the opportunity to make our work environments more humane than ever? So, you know, even let's say post-vaccine, when we're not wearing masks anymore and we're not quite as worried about maintaining 6 feet between each of us, might we actually start to rethink some of the things that we were doing with benching? And, you know, some benching applications are absolutely fantastic and people enjoy them. Others, when you start to compress an individual space too much, is this an opportunity for us to rethink that? And, you know, when we look at some of the research that we were doing prior to this in terms of how people actually feel when the density is too great, and the issues that people were talking about then tended to be more about distraction and lack of privacy. Well, maybe we'll pay more attention to some of those things in the workplace of the future and, you know, not compromise quite as much the amount of space that we would allocate to someone who, you know, is sitting in close proximity to somebody else. So that, you know, there is hope that this, there may be a lot of lessons that we're learning that we'll take back to the workplace, you know, including, you know, could some of the things that we're experiencing and feeling at home actually help make our future workplaces even better? And just a, you know, an example of that is how we interact with not just our technology, but remote participants. So, you know, we've all had the benefit of that, and we've also had the frustration of that right now. And if, you know, if indeed that the workplace is going to become, you know, just another typology or another node on that network of spaces where we work, we are all probably going to be much more empathetic to remote participation and thinking about how no one is disadvantaged. So if there's a group of us who are fortunate enough to be working back in the workplace where we have technologies that are scaled appropriately, we're probably going to pay more attention to what it's like or what the experience is like for those people who are at home. So, you know, we think that's where how we design the work environment together with new and emerging technologies, we think we will pay much more attention to that. And that in itself could bring some new ideas or fresh ideas to the workplace.
Yeah, it's so inspiring. Ladies, thank you so much. This conversation, I feel like, is just one that we will continue to have. And I love the idea that this working from home, kind of putting that positive spin and thinking about how it will make our workplaces better. So thank you so much, Gail and Mary Beth, for being here today.
Yeah, and thank Gail, you. I hope you will come back again. You have so much on the horizon in terms of all the research that you're involved in. So we would love to hear more about that in the future.
Oh, and I would love to do that. And particularly when I have interesting things to tell you that come from the world of science, I would love to do that.
Yeah, we love it. Thank you guys so much. For now, this is the More Than a Chair podcast. Yeah, we love it.